Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm Jordan McNamara, and we are doing wide receiver snap reactions here for week three. I do want to point out, so I'm going to do something a little bit different. Again, we're doing positionally this week. And so I want to look through some of the PFF stuff about expectation scoring and basically who's over, under, and specifically with regards to yards. So that's the angle in which I'm looking at this group, and then I got some other stuff I'm going to throw in there as well. But I just want to point out DeSean Jackson did go 3 for 120 and a touchdown. It's pretty fraudulent. 14 routes. He's run 21 routes this year, so don't get fooled by that. Quez Watkins is another one. 7 receptions, 186 so far. He's got 69 expected yards. So just keep in mind that it's a pretty small sample, and it just looks like it's totally overblown. When we look at some of the guys that really are up there in terms of production, Rondale Moore is one that's really interesting. 90% over production. He's got a 184 in terms of yardage, so that's really interesting there. With him, you're getting to the point where that entire situation is really interesting because he has 10% of the air yards, but actually 20% of the target share. So that's really interesting when you actually compare it to Christian Kirk, who's got 14% of the target share, but 29% of the air yard. So Christian Kirk basically getting twice the bang for his buck in terms of target share. Moore getting half of his bang for the buck in terms of air yards. But I think there's an equilibrium here that comes with it, but I think it is notable there that he's significantly outproducing his production. Tyler Lockett, expected for 0.7 touchdowns so far, has 3. He's expected for 183.9 yards. He has 309, 68% over expectation. So really overproducing. I would expect him to regress a little bit, but still he's one that has proven that he can do way over expectation in terms of points per target and that sort of stuff. So that he's higher shouldn't be terribly surprising. He's probably not this good. Bryan Edwards is one I think is really interesting. 66% over expected yards, 126.4. He actually has 210. Some of that has come in some weird, schemes and weird, groupings. It was a lot in that at the end of that Monday night game there. And then he's come on since then. So I think that one's an interesting one to watch. Him and both Ruggs are on the developmental track. So it's pretty interesting as we go along here. Tim Patrick's another one who's just kind of continuously outperforms. 59% over expectation in terms of yards. He's got a 174 so far through the air. And he's got 12 receptions, which is more than his 8.7 expected receptions. So that's another one. Would you sort of look at the fact Judy's banged up and Hamler's going to be out? Patrick's one that absolutely from if he's out there on waivers perspective, could be one to add. So he's one that I'm doing a waiver show this week as well that you might have already heard, depending on the order in which you heard the podcast here. He's one that I'm mentioning in that podcast as well. So continuing on here, Cooper Kupp, really the man here, wide receiver one so far, 56% over expectation. He's really crushing it in terms of touchdowns too. He's got 2.8 touchdowns, but he's got 5 total, right? So he had 2.8 expected, 5 actual touchdowns. It's really interesting in terms of just crushing it here with Stafford. So I do think that, there is some overproduction for him in terms of he has a lot more than his expected yards, right? 56% over expectation to get to 367 where he's at. I would expect that you can see some Robert Woods. You'll see some additional pieces of this offense take off a little bit. It's going to be tough for Kupp to continue with this efficiency, I would say, on this level of volume. Julio actually up 46%. No touchdowns so far. So he's at 204 in terms of the air receiving yards. Expect him to potentially get on the board here with some touchdowns. He's consistently underproducing in terms of touchdowns. It's a long story there, but I think that's an interesting one. Deebo Samuel might be one of the more interesting breakouts, honestly. He comes from real he's one that we're going to have to look back on and say, was the one of my thoughts was that Brandon Ayuk was going to really be sort of in the role of wide receiver one in this offense. And the reason why was because when you sort of looked at some of the air yard stuff, Deebo Samuel was very limited in terms of who he was last year. When you sort of go back to what would be 2019, his rookie season, it was a little bit deeper. So it would be something I'm interested in looking at and seeing, how did we miss this? Was it something that we should have seen? Is this a pattern that we should have picked up on? If it wasn't, it wasn't. But that's one that I'm definitely going to go back and look for. We'll see how this ultimately plays out with a healthy Ayuk. Where does Deebo's air yard set in, and where does his ADOT set in? But that's one that, as I'm looking back, I'm trying to think about how we got that wrong, because that might be a signal for other potential situations to look for. Henry Ruggs, 40% over expectation. He's got 237 receiving yards so far. Another one that I think is in the midst of a mini breakout. So both him and Bryan Edwards, as Derek Carr playing well, he's elevating. So I think that's a really interesting one. Mike Williams, huge monster breakout. You know, this is the what's really weird to me. And again, this could be sample. This could be nothing. It could be something. And we've seen guys that have come in really young at the receiver position recently. So you got your Justin Jefferson mega breakouts, CeeDee Lamb, really good. You know, you go back for some of the other guys that have been really productive, Juju, and some other guys that have come in really early and been productive. But then you're getting some of these late breakouts too, right? So you're getting Corey Davis as a late breakout. You're getting Mike Williams as a late breakout. You're getting Devontae Parker as a late breakout. We're sort of seeing some of it expand. I have explanations for why they're expanding early, right? In terms of like some of the more pass preparedness, some of the scheme stuff is more translatable, carries over a little bit more from college to the NFL in sort of these quote modern times. That doesn't fit well with the fact that they're later breakouts out of Mike Williams, out of Corey Davis, out of Devontae Parker, heck, out of Will Fuller potentially. Like some of those later breakouts, they don't have the same level of there's not like a thread you can pull on and say like, here's the structural reason why. So I'm really interested to see, like, this could just be total noise, or it could be something more here. I'm not really sure. So that's another one of these ones where, like the Deebo one, I wonder if there's something there that we could potentially pull on. AJ Green, last one here, 29% over expectation. Now, if you remember, one of the big criticisms that I had last year was Joe Burrow. Like, hey, is Joe Burrow – one of two things is probably true. Either Joe Burrow's not very good or at throwing deep balls, or AJ Green is cooked. Doesn't look like AJ Green's cooked. So – it's really interesting to see how Burrow's going to in this offense. Was it just maybe the two of them had a bad connection? I don't know. But it's really interesting. Like AJ Green performing pretty well in terms of outproducing his expectation, which he vastly underproduced last year. So we are seeing some positive regression from AJ Green. Not unsurprised. Shouldn't be terribly surprising. What do we say? The consistent rule is things regress to their mean, especially in terms of points per target. It's absolutely like a consistent sort of fundamental AOD principle. That's a fundamental principle of fantasy football, but of AOD, this is something that we look at. Points regress towards the mean on a per target basis, so long as, and we can benefit from that so long as the volume stays the same, right? That's really the thing that we need. So we can't have the regression happen on a tenth of the volume, right? Because that we can't really impact that. So that's one of those things that we need to see. AJ Green proven that he can keep up the volume. Really interesting performance here through 3 weeks. Again, not a huge performer, but in terms of over volume, but I think can absolutely be helpful to rosters at this point. Now turning to the worst performers, and the worst performers are brought to you by Base Rates, okay? And tell me if you think any of these things pop up. Elijah Moore, the internationally recognized man of the year, the savior of the wide receiver position, amongst qualifiers, the worst compared to expectation. He has 174.9 expected yards. He has 66 yards total on the season. So he is 62% below expectation, expected for just short of 12 catches, has 8. So massively underproducing expectation. Underproducing as well, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 148. He has 76 yards so far. Basically 50% under expectation. He's one that I could say, hey, listen, if you look at this and say, he's one that you might regress and say, hey, the situation is actually decent. They just haven't hooked up. He's a deep ball target, sort of those things. I could sort of get that. You know, Rodgers lands one or two deep blows, and all of a sudden, like, he's Marquez Valdes-Scantling's really valuable. So he's one that I could say, yeah, I'm not sort of cutting bait on yet. Amon-Ra St. Brown, expected for 68.9 receiving yards, and he has 38% under expectation. Not a lot there, not surprising from a day three rookie, even though we were peddled all offseason that he's the most pro-ready. That's not helpful. Laviska Shenault, another one. Again, this is brought to you by Base Rates. 150.8 expected yards, 95 so far, 37% under expectation. Devonta Smith, 36% under expectation. Here's one that's actually a shocker. Allen Robinson, 34% under expectation. That's probably more quarterback related than it is skill position players. Top 10 guys in terms of expected yards. So this is, you know, this is the PFF formula in terms of predicting overall, you know, and they bake in some of the ADOT stuff and where the targets were and those sorts of things. Adams with the most, 291.9, 6% over. Brandon Cooks, the second, he's 11% over. DJ Moore, the third. Stephon Diggs, the fourth. Stephon Diggs is 26% under expectation. So there's a lot there in terms of his involvement in the offense yet. Just hasn't hooked up yet. Some of that stuff is Josh Allen. Josh Allen has missed a couple of deep balls to him, which isn't surprising. Those things happen to Josh Allen. He's not a great deep ball thrower. But I would expect a big bounce back, a big regression towards Diggs' mean here coming up, coming forward. 251.6 for Justin Jefferson. He's like right on the number, so he's 1% over. I mean, it's just he's a really, really high value player, really high floor, really good ceiling, all told. Really excited about Justin Jefferson. If he has slipped at all because Adam Thielen has 4 touchdowns, like, he's slamming by. Here's another one that's an interesting buy. Jacoby Myers, 243.4 in terms of his expected yards. He is 28% under that. You can attribute probably some of that to the rookie quarterback, some of that to some scheme stuff, but look at what is expected of him in terms of where they have put him in the offense. The sixth most, you know, if you consider that, the sixth most valuable usage so far has been Jacoby Myers. So a really interesting one. And really the lone outlier in this list in terms of guys that you would expect. Tyreek Hill, 12% over. He's seventh in terms of expected yards. Mike Evans, which is interesting considering not typically a huge yard getter is not typically something associated with him. It's more, hey, he's high variance, all this stuff. Eighth in terms of expected yards. Pretty good number there. He's 13% under. So again, maybe we'll see a little bit more uptick there. Ridley, ninth, 236.7. A big Carlo suggestion preseason. So we're sort of seeing that. Maybe not to the overall, like, elite strata, but still top 10, you'll take it. 26% under, so just hasn't rung the bell yet. I'm expecting some positive regression from him. And Cooper Kupp, 56% over expectation. He is smashing as the wide receiver one so far. Some specific team construct stuff here that I think is interesting. Marquise Brown, 26.4% target share. Sammy Watkins, 25.3%. Mark Andrews, 19.5%. Really consolidating there within those three guys. And that's an interesting really consolidation there amongst the position. We'll see how Rashad Bateman goes to try and crack that. But that's a lot of consolidation there between three guys. Woods, just notably, I think is worth noting, he's 43rd in terms of expected receiving yards, so way down the position. We'll see if maybe that comes up as teams start to key on Cooper Kupp a little bit more. Robbie Anderson, 10.3, and I'm just doing sort of these randomly. These are actually some from alphabetical order in terms of some of these things that I'm looking at this particular point. Robbie Anderson, 10.3%. Target share, fifth behind DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Terrence Marshall and actually Dan Arnold. So Dan Arnold was traded this week as part of the CJ Henderson deal to Jacksonville. So we'll see how that ultimately works out. Maybe that'll bump Robbie Anderson up to four. So that's so far a pretty big miss here in terms of my suggestions earlier on in the offseason, a disappointment. 25% market share of targets for Allen Robinson. He is fine. I'm not worried. Things regress towards their mean. He's a classic case of that. Cincinnati's is interesting. 25.3% target share for Boyd. Chase is at 21.3. Higgins is at 20. So we'll see what the injury to Higgins, sort of how long that's going to be and what that's going to look like. I think that's a really interesting thing to watch for. Boyd probably undervalued ultimately. One thing I would also note, really low volume for Joe Burrow. So I know that coming into the season, there was some specific, and we were joking about this in the group me chat, there was some specific analysis that discussed the huge volume in which Burrow is going to offer. That hasn't come to fruition yet. We'll see if that potentially moves up, but a different offensive output than expected so far through 3 weeks. I think if you were to tell me like the single most interesting number from week three, 29% target share for Odell Beckham Jr. First game back from an ACL tear and 29% target share. Like, that is a incredible number given the fact that he hasn't played. And there's been some stuff where, you know, there's been, you never know with some of the stuff, like, hey, he hasn't get, you know, he just hasn't had a chance to link up with Mayfield, all that stuff. I don't really know what that is all about, but I will say, listen, you have the opportunity here with Landry hurt. You know, we'll see when Landry's back. They haven't gotten what they've really expected out of the tight end position. How big is 30% of the pie? It might be a secondary question, but the fact that he could get to 30%, he's right there in his first week back. The fact that that's how seismic his gravitational pull is 1 week in is pretty incredible. So he goes basically 5 for 70. So yeah, it's not a huge number, but man, in terms of relative production, that is an immense target share. So I'm really, really interested in watching Odell Beckham Jr. because that's a holy smokes. Like, I was like, I have to go back and recheck the math. Like, this can't be right. 29% target share through week three. Just a terrifying number in terms of, like, if he's back, like, that could be really, really interesting in terms of production this year. 24.3% target share for CeeDee Lamb. 22.5 for Cooper. And another interesting one, 13.5 for Schultz, 9% for Jarwin. So Schultz overproducing Jarwin. I saw something interesting on Twitter. I wish I could credit the person. I just saw it when I was scanning. But they said Dalton Schultz is the first time in Dynasty Fantasy Football history that the Dynasty community took the old guy, the old less productive guy, over the young, more productive guy. In terms of valuation, like, it was, people were all over Blake Jarwin when Dalton Schultz was actually younger and had outproduced him. It's a really interesting comparison there, and totally true. Lamb up to, you know, just short of 25%, and compared to Cooper at 22.5, like, both perfectly fine. Really good to see Lamb, you know, given the cost, it's good to see Lamb that high. Michael Pittman, I would say if there's one that's the most interesting from like a developmental guy, 25.2%. Listen, Carson Wentz, I just don't think is very good. And I think kind of see that. I watched the Ursay interview where it was just kind of ran Carson Wentz over with a truck. I retweeted it and said, like, him demanding a trade in 3-2-1 or temper tantrum in 3-2-1, just because that's like, that's the kind of stuff where you're like, what the, like, you already kind of know this guy's a little fragile and you just, Jim Irsay hit him with a truck. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. But Michael Pittman, 25% target share, 9.3 targets per game. Like, that's pretty healthy in terms of potentially breaking out here. Again, it's maybe capped in terms of the quarterback situation. But, like, that's a really intriguing sort of, like, that puts him in a different strata coming into this year than I expected with him. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams just smashing in terms of the volume. Basically 50% of the offense, 11 targets per game for Keenan Allen, 10.3 for Mike Williams. Just really robust, like both of them at that volume. Again, that you should expect that to come down a little bit, but at that volume, I mean, both of them top 12 range of outcomes, absolutely possible. So really interested to see how this works out. And I'm interested, like, what's the second contract going to look like for Mike Williams? Like, is this going to be Corey Davis level? Because I wasn't expecting that coming in. Like, I thought he would get, you know, I haven't studied the contracts recently, but something along the lines of like maybe a richer man's Will Fuller contract, something like that, a couple years maybe instead of one. He's looking like a rich man's Corey Davis at the moment. So it's a really interesting development in terms of where he's at on a franchise tag, making a huge breakout through 3 weeks. Nice to see him healthy, good situation. Maybe they re-up him, right? I mean, attach him with that in that system with Justin Herbert for years to come. Like, man, that's a really interesting and compelling core. I mentioned Jacoby Myers earlier, just short of 25% in terms of target share. Really interesting. If he's a throw-in guy in terms of trades, it's really interesting. DK Metcalf, 25 targets. Tyler Lockett, 20. 29% target share for DK Metcalf, 23 for Lockett. So that's a really interesting, high, again, two guys that are really sort of collecting it amongst themselves there for about 50% of the offense. Really valuable in a Russell Wilson offense. 31.2%, this is incredible, 31.2% target share for Deebo Samuel with George Kittle, with Brandon Ayuk. We'll see. I would expect Ayuk to sort of bring that down a little bit, but I'm not betting against Deebo ever again. Guy's a monster. Tampa Bay is interesting from just a, like, how do these guys sort of stack up? 18.4% target share for Godwin, 17.7% for Mike Evans, 14.2% for Gronk, 7.1% for Antonio Brown, 26 targets for Godwin, 25 for Evans, 20 for Gronk. All right, so this is one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the league. They're just throwing it. Tom Brady led them in rushing last week. Like, this is a sling-it-around-the-yard type of offense. 10 targets so far for AB. Listen, this is like, just keep – if this is going to stay the same, which I wouldn't expect this offense to change much given where it's pretty static year over year at this point, I think it's a really compelling scenario for all – four of those guys to produce. We'll see how much the overall volume can get for Antonio Brown, but Evans I like quite a bit. Again, he's on pace for $1.50 in terms of targets. Like, let's fire up the band, you know. It's a little bit less than that, but yeah, I mean, between $1.30 and $1.50 in terms of targets, like, yeah, let's fire up that band. Same with Godwin and Gronk. I mean, just a really, really compelling top three, top four, if you include AB. Not too interested in the running backs at this point. AJ Brown, 18.4% target share, 19 targets, so that's down 7 catches so far. That's a 36% catch rate. I would expect that to go up ultimately. He's banged up a little bit right now, so we'll see here week to week. He's a buy candidate. I would go out and explore, especially if, like, you're rebuilding. Like, he's absolutely a buy candidate. If you can sell some situational production for him right now, can find someone that's willing to indulge in that, absolutely feed them that instant production. Terry McLaurin, 27.5% target share. He's still well on pace for productive season here, even though changing quarterback situation. Simply put, he good. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I tried something a little bit different. I'm interested in sort of taking different angles on these instead of just giving you the same rundown of every box score. Let me know what you think. I could take different looks at this going forward, or I can go back to the same traditional format. Let me know what you think. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.